So we're here with Monsignor Kozier, of course, who is the face and the voice behind CNEIWA, one of the many aid agencies that help the Eastern churches in the Middle East. You were part of the OROACO meeting that's called every year here and brings together the main aid agencies that help the communities in these lands and the leaders and the voices of the Christian communities present in this land. So can you just help bring to life for our listeners this 2 days of debate, discussion and reflection that took place here in the Vatican?
Well, I think I would begin with the ending event, a private audience with the Holy Father. He very succinctly, rather dramatically, in a gentle voice, highlighted, don't despair, don't give up as others would have us do in these tumultuous times and in these areas of great conflict. Persist in your prayers. And he said, we ultimately win in conflict by charity. I thought that was very eloquent. And I think that would be at the basis of the way we reach out to these churches and the people that are served. We highlighted especially Syria, Iraq, and Egypt. And as people, if you even casually read the papers or watch international news, terrible suffering. Syria, for example, we had the nuncio from Syria with us. He's there. He's on the ground as he just, in passing, said, yeah, some shells have come within 50 or 100 meters of my house. He said, everyone is impacted by it. But I think a point that he made, and he brought with him a wonderful Franciscan Capuchin friar and a sister, who are, one's in Damascus working in the midst of all of that chaos, and the other one's in a town that is, it goes back and forth between controlled by the Assad regime and then controlled by the resistance fighters, and he's in the middle. Anyway, I think a point that he makes, and it resonates with us, we try more than anything else to keep the church present. Because in many instances, these victims, including Muslims, Orthodox, Catholic, Christians, these victims look for the slightest ray of hope. Syria, for example, what do they have to hope for? About 1.5 to 2 million have left. They're in Jordan, huge numbers more and more in Lebanon. That we try to help these priests and these sisters, the bishops, just to remain and give people a sign. Let me tell you about this Franciscan priest. He's heroic. He's been threatened, both sides, and there have been people summarily taken by both sides and executed for whatever. He was told by some of the fundamentalist, fanatic Muslims, stop ringing that church bell. You insult the Muslim tradition. And then he's been told by the other side, stop that. You're drawing attention and whatever. He rings the bell every day for the Angelus and when he has a mass. He said, this is the only reminder of hope for some of these people. Now, that sounds so simple, but it is profound. And he told some other stories of his house is not his house anymore, and he's very happy with that. I think he has about 50 people living in because they have nothing. It's been bombed. There's nothing left. Sister, the same way. She takes in, she's a Good Shepherd sister. They primarily work with women that have come into difficult times, and children, babies. But they reach out to all. The majority are probably Muslim, but it's the church in the name of Jesus. We don't have Catholics only. And in some of the work in Lebanon, the spillover in Lebanon, the same thing. The Christian villages have opened their doors to Christians from Iraq or others. And then we try, a priest visits, a sister, maybe carrying some food, maybe there is no food, to be there, to be a sign, a visible sign. We also had the Patriarch of Egypt. He's very newly elected, I think 3 months now, and young, very vibrant, not naive though. I mean, he really wants to give a positive view, that Christ and the church, we will not flee.
What did he have to say about the fear? What did the Patriarch of Egypt have to say about the fear of marginalization of Christians in the country as it tries to emerge from decades of one dictatorship to another?
Well, I think he didn't specifically address it, but I would say, piecing together some of his thoughts, that on the one hand, the genie is out of the bottle for real democracy. As a young person I saw in an interview, one election does not make democracy. And the fact that next week they may have 1 million-plus people on the streets, and there are some very bright young people, Muslims, Christians. That's one piece. I think another piece is the Catholic Church has a very good record, if that's the word, with, I think, about 250 schools and many clinics, orphanages, hostels. And we do exemplary work. We have religious sisters that are beloved in Muslim communities. The problem is when they're set upon by some fanatics, you only hope that the moderate version will prevail. So I think piecing that together, and he has to do a very determined job of evangelizing his people, keeping them strong, and challenging them not to flee. Because that's the quick answer a lot of times. You can see that in Syria. Why would you want to stay? The next bomb might kill you and your family.
We've seen it in Iraq.
Iraq, the Christian population, more than two-thirds, they're gone. Because they were between a rock and a hard place. They're dealt with, and this is what's in Syria. In fact, the nuncio validates this. The Christian in Syria, the biggest concern and preoccupation whenever this is played out is retribution. Christians are going to get it from both sides because they didn't join and take up arms with the resistance because we want peace, and the former Assad, the Alawite remnant, you weren't on our side and he was good to you when he was in power or whatever the circumstance. So I think that that's a very real piece there. So Egypt, and no one knows where this is going. And it's a huge country, a huge population. And the power of prayer. The Holy Father mentioned that too. Never underestimate and never give up. Never give up.
What was the message that the leaders of these communities had for you from, shall we say, inverted commas, the West? Because when we speak about the aid agencies, we're speaking about the organizations of the church here present in Europe and North America who try to aid these communities to resist and to never give up in these lands. What was their message to us? What do they need us to do so that they can stay in the Middle East, in the land of our Lord's birth, and remain there as a ferment, as a leaven for peace among the many communities?
Well, first of all, they make a strong case that the ultimate resolution of these conflicts will come probably because four or five major powers make it happen. And they're blunt, too, that there are economic pieces of this that impact in the West. So that's one piece. So challenge your leadership, Obama in my country and in Congress, challenge them to really sort out what are peripheral things and get to the heart of how this can be solved. I think the other thing is they really strongly urge us. In fact, you know, the one patriarch said, we don't need your money. We need justice here. We need justice. We need you to be our partners in that journey. And of course, that's implying with our governments, but put the force of the influence that we might have as funding agencies, as people on the ground, and that the church is more than any institution on the ground in the middle of the conflict. We're not like a journalist that's in and out and dodging. We're there. We're not like somebody that's making a photo op visit. One of my senators or something like that, he's there for 1 hour and he's gone. Maybe there's some importance to that. I don't know. But we're on the ground and we're helping them to remain on the ground. And they're saying, hopefully some of this will translate. And then the big players. And the other thing is, we have to, with our Catholics, our Christians, we have to do a better job of educating, not primary school, secondary even, but real political leadership. We have to educate. And if that means maybe taking them to a neutral country and really getting them trained, that they can be, there's a vacuum. This is one of the problems in these countries. There's a vacuum. Who is going to come in and try to bring about democratic change? Because no one's been prepared. They're so enmeshed in this culture of dictatorship or false democracy. So that was another point. And I was a little bit surprised, but I'm happy to hear that. That what do we have to offer? That we should contribute a lot, because the history of the Middle East, you couldn't talk about it without the Christian influence. And another point that was a dramatic statement was said, there is no Middle East without Christians. It wouldn't be the Middle East. We've contributed in science, in agriculture, in education, in healthcare, in even in governance in the past. But when you have this dramatic change from a dictatorship, or you go into a Sharia-type circumstance, what's the role that a Christian, a balanced, trained, educated, popular in the sense for the people? So we need to do a much better job with that.
So it's not just a case of helping the funding agencies, but it really is a case of using our own voices, our own ability to bring the plight of these people to the notice of our local governments, our national governments, and education. And how can the ordinary Catholic, the ordinary Christian sitting at home perhaps, listening to our interview today, and they say, you know, I'd really like to reach out and help my brothers and sisters in Syria, in Lebanon, in the Middle East, in Iraq, but they think, what could I do? Yeah. How can they help?
Well, I think we in the past, we treat it like it's yet another fundraising campaign. And like in my country, people are very generous. When we had Hurricane Sandy, people responded beautifully. We had a hurricane, a terrible situation in Louisiana. The Haiti earthquake, people are very generous. But it's like a campaign mentality, campaign meaning for a specific mm-hmm. tragedy and response to tragedy. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, maybe they're so saturated with Syria that, yeah, here's my donation. Why doesn't it go away? Mm. It's so much more than contributing humanitarian. In fact, the ones we don't need tents. We need peace. We need justice. So I think we have to do a better job when we educate our people and invite them to be part of this in prayer, in their sacrificial gifts, but also maybe in their lobbying. It's the old idea, we've done it in the past with some success, a letter-writing campaign to our congressman. That's a good starting point, to our president. Or engaging our local congressional people to have open sessions, town hall meetings, and maybe to win them over. Some of them are very eloquent about this. But I think changing the mindset from a campaign to help and get dollars for humanitarian aid to, well, it's more than that. It's a problem that won't go away with a couple of trailers of food.
Monsignor Kozer, thank you very much for updating us on the real situation of what's taking place in these countries among our brothers and sisters. And we look forward to speaking to you in the future, should there be any news on how people can help and continue to help in this area. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.